Yes. That's why devotees always need to be patient. And just do their service and be rest assured that if they do their service, then Krishna is satisfied.
You mentioned about coming out of one's comfort zone. I was hoping maybe you could explain a bit about that. What does that mean?
Yeah, in English they use the word complacent. We have a tendency to sort of become complacent, and whatever situation we're in, when we sort of get used to that, we find a balance out of that, and then we don't go beyond. We have our own zone where we function, and we know that there's benefits to be gotten by doing more or doing something else or doing it another way, but that requires austerity, that requires doing something new, that requires breaking new ground, that requires coming out of your comfort zone, and we tend not to want to do that. So always performing austerity, that's not an easy thing to do. We don't always want to perform austerity. Encounter when devotees say, well, you know, I can't keep doing book distribution. And what they're really saying is that they don't want to keep performing that austerity, because austerity is always a strain on the mind and it's a strain on the body. But that's what keeps us Krishna conscious. It's what shows Krishna our sincerity to want to please Him, the Pohodivya. That's what keeps alive the pioneering spirit. And then, for instance, those same devotees who say, oh, I can't keep doing book distribution, well, at least in England, they may end up going out on the street and collecting for themselves for the next 15 years. Because they can do it. It's just a question of who they were doing it for and whether they were getting any personal benefit. Because when you have to do it, then you have to do it. When you're going to feed your family from it, then you can't tell your children. Maybe you can tell your sanctan leader you can't do it, or your temple president, but you can't tell your children that you can't do it. So then you can do it. And there's so many examples of things that devotees do when they have to do it, when they have no alternative. But that's no longer austerity, or at least it's austerity, but it's austerity in the mode of passion. It's austerity for personal gain. Or it's austerity because I'm obliged, I'm forced to do it, not because it's my duty or not because I want to please Krishna. So always somehow or another remaining in that type of mood of sacrifice. That's a real challenge. Anything else?
Just saying that mood of sacrifice, is that also a way to stop sometimes one can get into the quite mechanical in this service, like, you know, might be doing the same thing every day, so therefore, yeah, I do avoid the tendency to, you know, might take things for granted or become mechanical in the way you do things.
It's not as good, because our idea is to cultivate our consciousness, but it's still good, because even by mechanical service, the heart becomes purified, but not as well, not as quickly. That's why good spiritual practices are important, good morning program, because if you're not mechanical in your japa and you're not mechanical in your sadhana, then the tendency will be not to be mechanical in your service as well. On the other hand, if someone's spiritual practices are mechanical, then service will also most likely be the same. So it's consciousness. We want to cultivate Krishna consciousness. We want to become conscious of Krishna. So Krishna says, "Mama nushmarat yudhacha." Even when you're fighting, then you should think of me. So thinking of Krishna should mean that when we're performing the service, then we should think, yes, I'm doing this to please Krishna, I'm doing this to please Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya. It doesn't require some kind of great absorption in Krishna's pastimes, but the motive, overall motive, should be that. And then sometimes it can be very mechanical. In one sense, Arjun's fighting on the battlefield was also mechanical, but he never lost sight of the fact that he was doing it to please Krishna. And that was one of the benefits of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. Had Arjun, right from the very beginning, began to fight, then it wouldn't have necessarily been clear who's he fighting for, why is he fighting? Is he fighting to win his kingdom, or is he fighting for Krishna? But because Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, therefore it's clear to us that yes, the reason Arjun's fighting is because he wants to please Krishna. There's a nice lecture where Prabhupada says, he's sort of paraphrasing Arjun's thought, and he's saying my friend is so stubborn. He says he won't whatever I say, he just keeps wanting me to do the same thing. He says, so let me fight. Arjun's thinking that about Krishna. So one lifetime, we dedicate one lifetime to serving serving Krishna, accepting some austerity, relatively minimal austerity, but nonetheless austerity, then and nicely practice Krishna consciousness, then devotees are sure to get a suitable result.
sometimes you hear a Tortoise quote, Prabhupada saying something like, just follow the four eggs, chant 16 rounds, and you can go back to home, back to Godhead in one life, something like that. Have you ever heard that before?
Did you didn't hear that before?
Now, have you? Like, is it?
You mean, did Prabhupada say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Many times. Many times.
So is it quite common for devotees to go back home, back to Godhead in one life then?
Why? Why not? Sure. Just go back to Godhead in this lifetime. It's not necessarily common. Try to deserve to go back to Godhead. Do those things that are make us worthy of going back to Godhead.
Does it require, like, you know, because hearing that quote of Prabhupada, you just follow 4 eggs, chant 16 rounds, and go back to Godhead. But then you hear the devotees, they talk about like a constant endeavor of more, you know, preaching and doing so many other things as well.
That's a sutra. Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles. Chant 16 rounds means chant 16 rounds without offense. If you don't chant 16 rounds without offense, then it will be very slow. It's highly unlikely that you'll go back to Godhead, because it's highly unlikely that you'll be able to stick to following the regulated principles also. Chanting 16 rounds without offense also means, it also implies that someone's getting up for the morning program, like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, because once again, if you don't do those things, then the other things won't follow. So, it's just like when you say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that implies a lot of things. It also implies that Srimati Radharani is his internal potency. It also means that Lord Nityananda is his first expansion. It means all kinds of things. So, chanting 16 rounds doesn't mean chant 16 rounds any old way, it means all the other things that Srila Prabhupada wrote about and talked about, chanting Hare Krishna. When you do all of those things, then and that's what it means to understand things in proper perspective. That's all there was to it, then why would have Prabhupada written all these books that we're distributing? And if that was the only instruction necessary. So that's the basic instruction, but then we see so many other instructions that are there that teach us how to chant 16 rounds, how to follow regulated principles, what regulated principles mean, what are things that lead us away from following the regulative principles, what are material energies, tricks that distract us, so that even though we're strict followers, we end up becoming just the opposite. what ashram should we live in order to be able to follow 16 rounds and the four regulative principles. So it's all in Prabhupada's books.
Reading last night in the Nectar Devotion, it was talking about ecstatic love. Prabhupada said there's two ways to attain ecstatic love. One is by constantly associating with pure devotees, and he said the other is by the special mercy of Krishna or his pure devotee. And he said out of the two, the mercy of Krishna or his pure devotee, getting that to attain a static level is quite rare. So then the other one is then constantly associating with pure devotees, but then I was thinking that's also quite rare as well, isn't it, to be able to constantly associate with pure devotees.
Prabhupada is saying is that one process is that someone performs the activities of sadhana bhakti, and the other is that without sadhana one just becomes the object of Krishna's or the Vaishnava's mercy without any practice, just incidentally, like she in turn not only gave her jewels, but he actually gave her love of God. So she didn't perform any sadhana, but still she attained ecstatic love. That's rare. It's rare because you have to be there when Krishna's there. Or how sometimes Lord Nityananda or Ram Das, Abhiram Das, he would have his whip, and with his whip, whoever he hit would obtain love of God. Whoever they were, it didn't matter whether they wanted it or didn't want it. So, that's where. The other one is that you keep association with pure devotees. Pure devotees means not necessarily pure devotees who are elevated in ecstatic love, but pure means that they're pure in their motive. That they their desire is to please Krishna. That's what a pure devotee is. And you practice sadhana bhakti, and by the practice of sadhana bhakti, gradually, Lord Chaitanya says, bhavate bhavate Krishna spurate antari. Gradually, by the practice of Krishna consciousness, Krishna kripai pai, Rasa Sindhu Pari, Krishna Kripa. Well, then one gets Krishna's Kripa, Krishna's mercy, and then one reaches the ocean of love of God. So our process is that process. We practice sadhana bhakti and the association of Vaishnavas. And then with the confidence that by doing so properly, then we go back home, back to God. And going back to God, that means one attains love for Krishna.
Last week we were on Paragram for a few days and went to places like Kurukshetra and Naimisharanya, which are the places in... They said that these places appeared in Navadvip as well, or they originally came from Navadvip. I was wondering how are places like Kurukshetra and Naimisharanya here as well?
Yeah, the original pastime places are Navadvip, which means Navadvip or Vrindavan. Kurukshetra, the original forms, Nagashranya, and so on. And all the other places are really expansions or extensions of those original places. Because Vrindavan is the original Dham, and all other places, just like Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all other forms of Godhead are just his expansions. So similarly, all other places, Naimisharanya and Kurukshetra, are all expansions of Vrindavan. How are the expansions of Vrindavan? Kurukshetra's main feature is not the battle. Kurukshetra's main feature is that it's where Krishna and the Vrijvasis met. It's a place of meeting, a place of separation, and where they also left Krishna to go back to Vrindavan. And so Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, they manifest those features of ecstatic separation from Vrindavan. So that's also there, present in Braj, present. And because Navadvip is no different than Vrindavan, so it's also present here as well. And all holy places, and Pushkar, and Rishikesh, and Hardwar, and Badrinath. That's why in Vrindavan it's called Adibadri. Adi meaning original. It's the original Badrinath. And the Badrinath in the Himalayas, that's an expansion of that Adibadri. Present within Vrindavan, also within Navadvipa.